Well, he was led of the Lord to say that. Yes, he was. God bless you all. You look wonderful today. Just look around you and just tell somebody, you look good today. You look good. You look good. It's great to see you. So, I was thinking, Ryan said that Pastor Aaron didn't talk about food, so I thought I would. It's Friday night. We kind of, when Patty and I are home alone, we kind of think about, what are we going to do? So this week I bought shrimp, and you got to, you know, season it up a little bit. And then I put it in a pan, cooked it. It was the uncooked, cleaned it real good. And then she made coleslaw and made a dressing to go in the coleslaw with fat-free yogurt, avocado, some jalapenos, and mixed that up in there, and took like a flat tortilla, like whatever you call them things, laid that shrimp in there, laid that coleslaw in there with some hot sauce. And what you say, what's that got to do with the message? Absolutely nothing. But I thought, I got to pick up where Pastor Aaron drops the ball. Somebody's got to do this. Amen. Are you okay with me just having a little fun? I'm going to get serious here in a few minutes. I want to say hi to my friend again, Roy, that's watching at home. And if you're watching this, however you're doing it, live Facebook, YouTube, on our website, share it. Invite somebody to come to church with you. We're so glad that you're with us. This Wednesday, we're going to do the food again at St. Anthony's, and I'm excited to do that. I got the green light. We're going to do it at least all through March and again April, and I'm hoping after that they'll continue on with that. Last week, we did a missions offering, and so we sent $500 on top. So we pay for the food in the food pantry. That is between $1,000 and $1,400 every month. Every month. Everybody say every month. We give that, we buy that. That's not free. We pay for it. But the food that we get over on Liberty Street, they give it to us. Part of that comes from FoodLink. So we sent an extra $500 to them, and we sent $500 to 8 Days of Hope. You did that this past week. Come on, are you thankful for that? You're not very thankful. Come on, you should be thankful for that. Whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. With the measure that you sow, it'll be measured back to you. I want you to know, I'm looking at blessed people here. If you don't wrap your arms around that, you're living a small measured life. But when you make the decision, I'm going to honor you every time that I do something above and beyond, every time he releases something into my life, every single time. Trust him. Trust him with your life. He's going to do something great. Lord, I just thank you for this next few moments together. Reveal yourself to us, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. I just want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning, and I'll be just a few minutes on just the thought, he's closer than you think. I had the privilege this week of doing a podcast. I want to say thank you to Pastor Ryan and Pastor Samantha. Thursday night really did amazing. That little girl that showed up in the church several years ago, my son ended up marrying her. She is a powerhouse and a blessing to this house. And we love you, honey. Love you. Come on, you can do that. And Ryan last Sunday did just fabulous. And this coming Thursday, Mr. Brad Trzynski is going to share the word. You want to come for that, and he's a blessing. I had this privilege of doing this podcast with World Missions Alliance. It's a ministry that we do missions work with. They travel to 19 nations around the world. Many that are in the church now have gone with them. Some are going on a trip coming up. I know Carol McDermott's going to Mexico. Is that in May, Carol? Oh, Friday. This Friday. Okay, Carol is going to Mexico. Come on, can we put our hands together for that? And Paulie has been, many people have been on these trips, and then I've had the opportunity of speaking at their annual conference. Ellen said now since 2012, I can't believe it's that long, excluding last year because of COVID. I'll do it again this year in March. And she asked me on this podcast, she said, how did you come to know Christ? And so, because she said, I'll send you the questions beforehand so you can think on them. I said, don't send them to me beforehand. Just ask them to me and I'll give them to you right off of my heart. She said, okay. She asked me, how did you come to know Christ? And when I begin to tell her and share this with, I don't know how many will listen to this later, it began to bring that emotion back to my life that I felt way back then. And how through prayers from, I'm sure, my girlfriend at the time, my wife's grandmother, from the day that she met me, she like zeroed in on me and began to pray for my life. And God led me to hear the gospel. And as I shared about what my life was and what had happened to me when I got saved, it brought tears to my eyes, not only while I was doing the podcast, but afterwards as well, and how it impacted my life. And I began to weep over how God had changed the course of my life. I'm standing in my kitchen this morning at 4:30, and I'm mixing my super beet powder that I take every day in my glass with my vitamins. And I'm standing there at 4:30 in the morning, and I'm thinking to myself, how did I get here? How did this happen? There was a time in my life I'd get up early in the morning and I'd go and milk cows, and I loved it. To this day, I love the smell of cow manure, diesel fuel. You know, you real men, you slap a little diesel fuel on the side of your face and you go about your day. But I'm standing there and I'm wondering, how did I get here? How did this happen in my life? How did God so change who I am? And throughout this week, in meeting with several different people, and actually even this month, who are walking through a very dark time or who have been through a very difficult time, I was reminded of how God touched my life in the middle of the darkness and the pain and the loss and the hurt. And I could share that with them. Sometimes people look at, you know, they look at somebody and they think, oh, they got it all together, they've had everything. Not so. You know, not so at all. And what happened in my life was I experienced what the world calls a paradigm shift. That's a total change of how you look at something, how you think about something. I've had several of these moments in my life. But God, the Apostle Paul, he calls it renewing the mind in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. He said, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. There's a paradigm, there's a shifting, but it's not something necessarily naturally that takes place. It's something when you lend your life to God and when you read and know his word, he begins to transform your life from being and thinking one way to thinking and being something totally different. And, you know, it's okay. A lot of people say, well, you know, I just think this. I just believe this. And with all due respect, it's okay for you to have particular beliefs. But my brothers and my sisters, if they don't line up with the pages of this book, they're not going to take you anywhere. And you need a transformation, a renewal, a paradigm shift in your life so that God can do in you what he has intended to do. Not to be conformed to the world and what everybody else thinks, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's not just a one moment, a one-time event. You know, I love the testimonies where God saved somebody and they were heading this way and all of a sudden, bam, They're totally different. But I've met a whole lot more people that have lived the life of change day by day by day. Of course, when I gave my heart to Christ that day, my life was changed. But all of the things that I had believed up until that point just didn't leave that day. It was a process. It was a renewal day by day by day. And I think that's where some people get tripped up because they think, well, I got saved. I came to church and I gave my life to Christ. Why isn't all this fixed? And it gets fixed when you walk it out, when you live it out, when you allow your mind and your life to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it not only changes the direction of and the trajectory of your life, but it expresses itself to others and generations yet to come. I'm so blessed. All my grandkids were here this morning. Some are. They're still here. I'm so blessed for them to be able to see their Boppy preaching the gospel, for two of my boys or my grandsons to see their dad preaching the gospel, their mom preaching the gospel, and that just doesn't happen. That is a renewal of your mind and your life and the purposes and the plans that God has for you. But there were moments in my life that were so hard. 54 years ago yesterday, 11-year-old, that was me, with my brother, my only sibling left. We were upstairs in my little bedroom, not much bigger than the closet behind the sound booth. We had a TV up there that somebody gave to us, an old black and white. And we got the most devastating news. And I reached out to my brother yesterday. He said, we can't believe it's been that long. He said, I remember what we were watching on television. He said, we were watching Get Smart. Anybody else ever, you remember that? There's a few of you. But at that moment, I'll never forget the wails from my father, which I never heard. We thought he killed my mom, and then he felt bad for her. We looked at one another. We didn't know what we were going to, only to go down and see the people that delivered a Western Union telegram to my family that said, Chief Petty Officer Gary McDonald has been killed in a car accident because he was on his way home on a short leave, driving from San Diego, California to South Byron, New York, to check on his brothers and his mother because of an abusive, wild father that would beat us. And he said, when I get back from Vietnam, I'm coming home, and you'll never touch my brothers and my mother again. And he gets killed on the way home. You want to talk about a dark moment? In my life, our whole family began to spiral out of control. My dad went on a month-long drinking binge, and at the end of it, he ended up in a mental institution. And what my brother had said came to pass. He never did touch us again because he was in a mental institution for 2 years, and at the end of that, he got out, and 6 months later, he was gone. You talk about dark moments, and you know, I'm at 13 years old now, a sister gone, a brother gone, my father gone at 17 years old when I think I just graduate from school and I got the world in front of me and I get the call that my mother collapses at work. She's gone to the hospital and found out in August that she has inoperable cancer. And in September, I'm picking out her casket at 17 years old and I'm homeless. And I remembered all of this. And I wondered, that didn't know God, but I wonder, where is he? Does he care? Does anybody care how hurting I feel right now? How hard it is to live right now? So much pain and brokenness in my heart. And fast forward decades later, and I to see what God is doing and how he's taken the brokenness and the darkness and the pain and the failures of my life. I could have been stuck in that. I've got every reason in the world to stay stuck in that. I got every reason in the world to use what the world says. Medicate yourself. Do this. You deserve it. And it's a lie from the pit of hell because the Bible says, in Psalm 34, 18, that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And he saves those who are crushed in their spirit. Come on, has there anybody ever experienced that before? In the moment of your brokenness where everything is crumbling around you and you got all these visions of what you could do, but all in that moment. And I haven't only just experienced those when I was alone in a dark place. I've experienced them right here in the house of God. In moments that I've been hurt and broken. And God rushes to the hurt. He's close to the brokenhearted. He's never promised you and I a life without pain. But what he has promised is he'd help you stand up in the midst of your pain and walk through it. Because pain doesn't always need to be a problem, but it can be a platform for your life. That God can use you. And our natural senses want us to run away from pain, the hurt. But pain can serve a purpose in your life. You know, I go to the gym. People say, oh, I just love going. I love it. I hate going to the gym. My coach sent me a text in the middle of this on the last service. You get up the next day. I mean, we've done some crazy stuff in just the last week or two. Crazy. I get up in the next day and I'm hurting. I come home from the gym and I walk in. I mean, I'm hurting. And I've had people say, you're crazy. What are you doing that for? Why don't you just quit? And the reality is because pain can serve a purpose in your life. And by the way, I threw this in, March is National Nutrition Month and it's National Celery Month. Has no bearing on anything I'm going to say either this morning. Ryan asked for food, I gave it to him. And Isaiah describes an encounter he had when a nation was in a state of mourning in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. Isaiah says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up on a throne, and his train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, and they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. That's a whole nother message at some time. But Isaiah has this encounter with God that in the minute, in the moment of his pain, when he is at the moment, lowest moment of his life, something happened to him. And when something is happening in me, God wants to reveal himself to me. Pastor Ryan said it last week. Not every shaking is a bad thing. Sometimes a shaking will shake something not only bad, but it'll shake something good to happen in your life. And then Isaiah in chapter 6 and verse 5, he says, woe to me. He said, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord God Almighty, in which we discover that when we see God clearly, then we see ourselves clearly. We see sometimes. And I don't have to go through tragedy for this to happen. I see myself, my weaknesses, as my friend Roger Kenning says, the proclivities in my life very clearly when I'm right in this sanctuary sometimes, in the middle of worship, in the middle of this corporate gathering together. God, he doesn't come to condemn me. He doesn't come to make me feel bad, but he comes to reveal himself to me because conviction shows us how we can change. And my brothers and sisters, we can. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I'm hanging out with a bunch of people that are unclean as well. Good word for somebody. Allow God, when he points his finger on something in your life, don't run from him, run to him. Because he's going to serve a purpose. And then he goes, he says in verse 6, 7, and 8, one seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken off the tongs of the altar, with which he touched my mouth And he said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. You're no longer that. I don't care what anybody says about you. But when you encounter a living God, he's going to touch your life in the middle of your pain, your weakness, your failure. And he's going to restore you and make you into who he has called you to be. Come on, you ought to say amen to that today. And then he finishes it up with, he said, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Not me, us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The New Testament is always revealed in the Old Testament. He said, who will go for us? Isaiah says, here I am, Lord. Send me. Use me. Have your way in me. You want me to go on a mission trip, I'll go. If you want me to show up on Wednesday to hand food out when it's 8 degrees out, I'll go. And can I just put a little plug in for all those who have been there throughout this whole winter season? You know, one of the drivers on the food link truck, he shakes his head and he says, you guys are the only one. Everybody else quit doing it because it was too cold. Can I tell you that everybody that has come on a Wednesday to help hand out food, not one complaint from anyone. These are the best. Yeah, come on. These are the best. Now, there's a couple guys in the group that talk too much to the people that go along, but we'll leave that for another time. Because when we see who we are, when we see ourselves clearly, we see what our future is going to be. I love this. Australian psychiatrist and Holocaust survivor Viktor Frankl, in a book he wrote in 1946 called Man's Search for Meaning. Thinking about starting a small group and just getting this book and doing it. He says this, everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. Everything else can be taken from us, but not what we choose our attitude to be. And then Frankl was given this task of taking Holocaust survivors and rehabilitating them. Prior psychologist Sigmund Freud, his way was, if something's wrong, give them whatever they want to make them feel good. Medicate, you know, whatever. Just want to make them feel good. Frankl, he discovered and created what is called logotherapy. I love this. Logotherapy. And if done, will change lives completely. And he had three core values of it. Number one, he said, need to do work that has meaning connected to it. This is so important. I remember when my mom died and I came home and my father-in-law, he was my boss, my girlfriend's dad. He said, Marty, get to work. And I looked at him. I said, why have you got to be so harsh? He said, Marty, you're just disengaging is not going to help you. He said, get to work. And I find this so interesting that when you do work that has meaning connected to it, serving, handing out boxes of food, you know, serving, ushering, whatever bus is going to drive again sometime, serving, giving your life, helping, leading, when it has meaning connected to it, it helps change you. Number two, he said, everyone needs a community, relationships that have unconditional love for them. I'm thinking right here in church. I think of our small groups, our connect groups. These are important. And our nature tells us to seclude, to recluse, to stay away from people. Leave me alone. But true healing and restoration comes when we are together. And three, he said, take the suffering so it has a meaning to it. He said, the man without meaning lives for pleasure, But pleasure only dulls the fact that they need meaning in their lives. Do you want me to read that again? Okay. He said, man without meaning lives for pleasure. Think about that just a minute. Think about that in your own life. That when you lose the focus of who and what you have been created for, you only seek to feel good. I'm preaching better than your amen at me for right now. But pleasure only dulls the fact that you need meaning in your life. And when you have meaning in your life, in the hardest, in the darkest days, it can be used to help someone else. And it's, here's another depiction of science revealing what God's word has told us right along. Joseph, living in a life of disappointment, pain, failure, brokenness, lied upon, prison. He ends up in this portion of scripture in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. He looks at his brothers. He says, what you did, you intended to harm me. But God intended it for good. And he brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. Instead of him taking his brokenness and his hurt and just saying, you know, the heck with everybody, the heck with life. Who cares? I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. He said, no, no. He said, I know God's got a plan in the pain. He's working something out. Paul says it this way in Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for good. He doesn't create everything, but he'll take it and he'll do something good with it for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. He didn't create the heartache in your life. He didn't create cancer in my sister. He didn't create my brother dying. He didn't create an alcoholic father, but he takes it and he does something good with it. I think I've shared this before and I read it again. It's such a cool story about an African king who had a servant who was also his friend. And this servant lived with such a positive attitude that no matter what happened, he would always respond, this is good. And they went out hunting, his servant and the king, one day. And the servant had loaded the gun for the king. And when the king shot the gun, something happened. It backfired and it blew his thumb right off his hand. The king turned around and looked at the servant, and the servant looked back to him. The king said, how did this happen? And the servant just looked at him. He said, this is good. And the king said, no, this is bad. And I'm going to put you in prison right now because of what you've done. So he throws him in a dungeon and forgets about him. And a year later, the king goes out on another hunting expedition, and he gets captured by a group of cannibals. And as they're preparing to eat the king, one of them looks at his hand and sees his thumb gone. And because of their superstition, they let him go because they thought, you know, something was weird or strange about him. They let him go. And the king realizes, had I not lost this thumb in that hunting accident my servant was involved in, I would be gone today. So he goes to the dungeon and he tells his servant what had happened to him. And he begins to say, you know, I'm so sorry. I want to let you out of the prison. And I'm just so sorry for what had happened. And the servant looked back at him and he said, this is good. And the king looks at him and he said, how can you say this is good at this time? He said, because if you hadn't put me in prison, I would have been with you on the hunting expedition, and they would have let you go and had me for dinner. Come on. Everybody say, this is good. Come on, say it again. Say, this is good. Because my pain can either be a jail that imprisons me or a school that empowers me. I'm going to close on this. I love that story. It's so funny. Number one, run to him, not away from him. He's not left you. He's not turned his back on you. Somebody needs to hear this today. You're carrying a chip on your shoulder, and you're mad at God. I don't even know how you got in here today, but you're here, and God's speaking his word to your life right now. Run to him. Because when you run to him, he'll give you understanding of what's happening and the purpose behind your pain. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he can be found, call on him while he is near. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And maybe you're not running away from God, but some of you have lost the passion to run to him. And you need to come to him in all stages, in all areas of your life, and go all in for Jesus. Easter is, I said it in the first service, 3 weeks. It's 4 weeks away. We're in a season that's described as Lent. It's a time to come closer to God. It's a time to examine your life. It's a time for maybe you to fast, for you to make some decisions. And a lot of people, they allow their lives to be, you know, connected to a moment, an event. And I love to talk about the resurrection, but what I'm more excited about, Jesus has been raised from the dead. But what he is looking for now is for you and I to be resurrected and raised up from dead places in our lives and to be used greatly of the Lord. See, some of the hardest moments that you have ever been through, God wasn't in it, but he's taken that to use you, which leads me this next point. Take the steps to grow. Don't let the storms. I thought it was so interesting, the song that Ryan led off with. Don't let the storms of life, the hurts, the disappointments dictate the life that you're going to live in, the direction you're going to go. You can't do that. Do you have a right to? Sure. You want to throw your life in the bucket of despair and pain and stay in that agony and get up every day singing, woe is me? Or do you want to rise up out of that and say as the servant did, this is good. This is good. 1 Peter 2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Follow him. Invest your life. I love it when I hear my son, Pastor Ryan, encouraging you every time he gets up in front of you. Read your Bible. Download the YouVersion app. Fill your life with the Word of God. Turn it on when you're going about your business. Turn off all that nonsense, the boom boom and the, you know, my tractor's sexy and all that nonsense. Turn on God's Word. Fill your life with the purposes and the plans that he has for you. And then last, Ryan, come on up with your people. Allow God to use what you've been through to help other people. That's what life is about. You don't stay in that pain, in that destruction. Some people here, God's delivered you from addictions, from alcoholism, from drug abuse. Some of you have walked through where a spouse has walked out on your life. Your life is not over. Can you help somebody? You better believe you can. I weep over some of the early years of my life. I remember my mom, people giving her these little cans of condensed milk. I think I want to call it pet milk. I don't know if that's right. It's just coming to me. And she'd heat it up in a little basin that's had dents all over. The dents came from my father using it on his children and on his wife, beating them over the head with it, smashing it into the cupboards, busting plates and glasses. And she'd take that and she'd pour that pet milk, put lots of salt and pepper in it. And then she'd take not a day old bread, a week old bread, and toast it and put it in a bowl and pour this over it. If we were fortunate, she'd have a little butter, slice a little butter on top of that and give it to us. And man, we'd think, okay. That right there could jack a person up for the rest of their life. But I'm so glad that I am a part of a church that instead of letting my brokenness define me, that we are a part together, not just me. I do very little, but a church, a body of believers that say, we're going to rise up, we're going to do better. We're going to rise up. We're going to help feed people, not on a couple streets, but in a region. We got people with trucks. They're taking it to all over little towns, all over the community and around. Why? Because we will not let the pain define us. We will use what the enemy has meant for evil to help a multitude of people that are around us. Listen to this last scripture, 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. All praise to God, not to anyone. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all of our comfort. Not out of a bottle, not out of a bag, not out of a package, out of heaven itself. He sends His Holy Spirit to enlighten you and to bless you and to strengthen you. He comforts us. Listen to this. Look at that scripture. He comforts us in all of our troubles so we can comfort others. You know the best teachers and the best group leaders? They're not the one that just had everything easy. They're the ones that have been through. I love talking to people that are leading a group or our next steps is going to start in just a short while. Again, I love hearing people say, I just don't feel qualified. I don't know if I can do this. Why? I don't understand God using me. Because He uses the brokenness of your life to heal others that are broken. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. I just want you to close your eyes. I'm going to close the service out right now. I want to pray for everybody. Those of you that are watching online, I love you. God's got a plan for you and a purpose for you. And if you're watching this and you're hurting today, if you've never given your life to Christ, you need to do that soon. Do it today. Just tell Him, Jesus, come into my heart and my life. Be my Savior and my Lord. God, I pray for each one that is here. I pray Your healing. I pray Your strength upon them. In the mighty name of Jesus. I'm going to do something. I asked Mo, I told him, Ryan, Pastor Ryan's going to lead us. I just felt yesterday as I was in my office and I was praying. It's a moment in time that comes along. And I know we haven't done this because of, you know, the condition,